Welcome to this edition of ICX Impact, where I talk all about Impact, and I'm honoured today to be joined by one half of the current tag team champs of North, Josh Alexander. Welcome to the show, brother.
Thank you for having me. It's good to be here.
No problem. I've been actually really looking forward to this one. I was really glad that you agreed to do it, so thank you for that.
No problem. Sorry I was so elusive in the beginning.
Don't worry about that. It's all good. You know, we expect to be chasing you guys, and we know how busy you are, and I'm sure you get requests every day, I'm sure.
Yes.
Now, like I said, I am a huge fan of yourself and Ethan, so this is a big privilege to me anyway. Now, I just want to, first off, you know, I always ask this question at the moment, and sort of since I've been doing interviews recently, but I just want to make sure that you've been staying safe, keep yourself occupied during this time. What have you been doing to keep yourself fit and healthy and busy? And, you know, I've seen on social media you've been enjoying some time home with your wife and family, which is obviously a bonus. What else have you been up to?
It was strange. Right up until quarantine, I maintain a full-time job while I wrestle. I always have for the past 15 years of my wrestling career.
What did you do?
I'm a construction worker.
Okay, cool.
So every day I wake up at, you know, 4:30 in the morning, go to a job site, work all day, come home. And I've always just made sure I've balanced that with traveling. And I've never let it get in the way of wrestling or sacrificed anything for wrestling. But I've always just – I've not seen a point in – staying home all day. I'm not wired this way that I have to just keep going. Right. So I do that. Right. And I also had a wrestling school. And so three nights a week, I'd get home from the gym. I'd tuck my kids into bed and I'd run off to the wrestling school. And then so I was working around the clock pretty much for the entire last year. And I made the decision that I was going to shut down the wrestling school as of middle of March. So it was like March 11th was the last class. And we did that, and there was all these, you know, murmurs of this is going to get shut down. Oh, you might not be able to go to the gym anymore, all this stuff. And I'm thinking in my head, I'm like, man, I might have locked out and shut down the school just in time to not have to have any issues with renting a building and all this other stuff. But then I got worried because I'm a maniac when it comes to training and weightlifting and all this other stuff, because I grew up an overweight kid that just, you know, couldn't do a push-up. And then I've worked so hard to make myself a competitive athlete to the point where I can be a professional wrestler. So the day before everything got shut down, I went to a store and I spent $1,000 and I bought weights and a barbell and all this stuff. And I had nothing. I had no interest in working out in my house. I like going to the gym because it's a separate area where I can just kind of tune out everything. Here I'll be lifting weights and my children will be opening the doors and screaming for me. And you know what I mean? There's distractions everywhere, but you know, I'm making do in this time.
It's interesting you say that because I spoke to Dave Christ a couple of weeks ago and he hates going to the gym. He's like, I hate going to the gym. I just hate it. I'd rather do it at home, but then he doesn't have any kids to worry about running around and stuff. And so, but it's funny you should say you like it because I do as well, because when I go, that's one of the hardest things I've found is actually not being able to go to the gym, because for me, it's always, that's been for three, you know, I was going three times a week, spend a couple of hours in there. I might then go in a spa or something like that. But generally, I would, you know, that would be my time away from everything where it's just me on my own doing my thing. And I think that it's sort of that time that you spend doing that, sometimes it helps keep you sane. I don't know what you think, but that's kind of where I kind of sit on it.
It's a form of meditation, I think. You know, you need to be able to tune out the world for an hour or two in a day, relieve those stresses. And for me, the gym is an environmental thing as much as it is a physical thing. Me stepping foot through that door, if I'm tired, if I'm sore, if I'm hurt from a show on the weekend and I don't want to work out, you know, I would rather be lazy and go home and eat a pizza and completely contradict what I need to do. I just make sure that I have to go to the gym. I drive there and I step through the front doors. That's all I have to do. If I don't, you know, run for an hour, if I don't squat 400 pounds, you know, that's fine. But at least I got there. So I'm going to do something. You know what I mean? So the environmental thing of going somewhere and doing something, like I've already wasted all that time and invested all that time into going somewhere, so I might as well do something once I'm there. It's different when I get home and I can lay on the couch and fall asleep before I go downstairs and work out.
Oh man, totally. Yeah, totally. And funny enough, I think it's yeah, I think it's that thing, isn't it? It's like you say, as soon as you come home, you slouch yourself down, you get a little bit comfortable, and then it's finding that motivation to then go and do it. I guess that's probably why a lot of people, when they do work out at home, they sort of do it like as soon as they get up, or like, you know what I mean? That is sort of like, let's just go and do it now. I know obviously Michael Elgin does a lot of working out at home and stuff like that. And you see him in his gym at like 5 o'clock in the morning or whatever it's stupid time
Yeah.
o'clock, cutting his promos because obviously he's the next world champion and all that. So,
Was gonna see him in his car talking about working out. Yeah.
yeah, exactly. Yeah. Have you ever, I don't know if I forgot his name now, Summit Franks. Frank, what's his name? John Franks or something like that. He does these videos, like they're like ramp videos. He's a proper jack guy, and he does a lot of these like crazy, like he'll have a topic like I don't know about people moaning about,
Oh, where he screamed, where he's just yelling and he turns red. Yeah, I've seen those.
It's hilarious. So I think it's really really funny. He's like, yeah, and it's like you're crazy. But I think it's really, really fun. I think he's hilarious. But yeah, so I get where you're coming from. And of course, if again you're still obviously working a full-time job as well, it's difficult, isn't it? To especially in construction. I mean, that's a workout in itself, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, it was in the beginning. Now it's just commonplace, right? So I need to go above and beyond that. It's really strange. Your body becomes used to things. Like now doing construction, it feels like I'm doing sedentary work. I'm sitting in an office all day because like I do
Because
that
of
all the time.
yes,
But yeah, it's a tough balance because sometimes I'll get home and I'll be dead tired,
I can
and
imagine.
to the allure of my couch being right there or the door to go downstairs into my gym. Usually I have to fight to not go to the couch, right? So.
Fair play. I like that. I really appreciate what you're saying. Now, I just wanted to touch on your early career because it started very promising very early, didn't it? And you were already tagging with Ethan under the tag name Monster Mafia. Oh, Mafia, terrible pronunciation there. And it seemed to be going really, really well. I mean, you were wrestling at times with Ring of Honor. I think AAW, I believe, but then you got that neck injury. How did that all kind of how did that really all go down? Because I read somewhere on some stuff with regards to you sort of kind of got injured, but you tried to work through it initially, and you sort of kind of got a bit worse. But yeah, how did
That was my own stupidity. We got to a point, as wrestlers, young men, young wrestlers,
Yeah, hungry.
as a tag team, we had a sole goal of getting a contract, some sort of validation for everything we were doing. Driving 10 hours on every Friday night to a show for $70 each and getting back and losing money, you know what I mean? The stuff you do to make a name for yourself. We did that. Ethan Page did that tenfold more than I did because of my injury and other things that kept me from doing it because I couldn't invest as much or I wasn't willing to invest as much into that sacrifice. But like we did it. And we got to a point and Ring of Honor was giving us a lot of attention. We had really, really good matches with Red Dragon, who were, their marquee tag team at the time. And everything I heard, like I accidentally walked into the bathroom after one of our matches with Red Dragon, and I went to the washroom. I came out to wash my hands, and Silas Young was there, and he was just gave me a, and I was like, "What's going on?" And around the corner, there was like a shower area because it was a locker room, and it was actually like a head booker and a producer and Michael Elgin and somebody else discussing us getting contracts. Like a conversation I probably wasn't supposed to overhear, which is why Silas Young was just like, just be quiet right now. So like they were discussing us having to change our names because they were going to give us contracts, and they already had Cedric Alexander and Adam Page under contract at the time, so they didn't want two Pages and two Alexanders and yada yada yada. So like just little stuff like that. We knew we were doing well and we knew we were getting close. And I broke my neck at in Michigan against Red Dragon in the best match I think we've ever had. Still to this day as a tag team, I think it's still the best match we've ever had. And I just didn't tell anybody. I got surgery in September. I managed to clear my schedule of 5 weeks of bookings, I believe. And I felt okay. I thought I could work around it. And I did that. And I came back without telling anybody. And I was pretty successful at it. I wrestled in PWG a bunch of times and then ended up re-injuring it on a freak accident.
Yeah, because you were even wrestling like the Young Bucks and Chris Sabin and Matt Sydal and all sorts through your injury, weren't you? And they were, I mean, they were actually recognized as really, really good matches as well.
That was post my first surgery and before my retirement. So we ended up getting into PWG because of the Young Bucks and anybody else that might have put us over there, which is how it works. And we got that opportunity and we thought that was the next springboard, because at the time, if you made it to PWG, you were at that crescendo elite level of maybe being a top independent guy. And yeah, freak accident happened. I landed on my head and there was no hiding it this time. I had to definitely take time off. I was told that I could never wrestle again, so that was devastating. But after I woke up from surgery, the surgeon told me it was not near as bad as they thought it was in the MRI. And with proper rehab and proper attention to it, I could probably return to wrestling. So I had, pleasant surprise.
Yeah, fantastic. So, but obviously at that moment in time, you know, it must have been a, it must have been heartbreaking though, because like you say, all the work, you were getting so close, and at that point you were like, man, you know, that must have been a heartbreaking decision to make when you said, right, that's it, I'm done.
Yeah, but like I've said it in a couple interviews since, and I'll say it again here. I never worked as hard as I should have back then. I got by because I was a very talented, I had a very good aptitude for professional wrestling. Like if I was taught something, I would never need to be taught it again. I was lucky enough to be talented at this naturally. Physically, I'm not a talented athlete naturally. I need to work my ass off to be an athlete. I need to work my ass off to look the part. I'm not genetically gifted, blah, 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 all this stuff to be the complete package. And I didn't do that work before I got injured. When this got taken away from me and I realized that I may never be able to do it again, and that, I realized I was losing this thing that make, like, this is my purpose. This is like everything I've ever wanted. The only thing that makes me feel fulfilled as a human being is being a professional wrestler. That's the only thing I've ever been able to find. Like that gives me day-to-day happiness like that. So for me to contribute and be a professional wrestler, I decided I wasn't going to do it at the level I was doing it before. I needed to actually put in the work. So if it didn't get taken away from me, I don't think I'd ever be in this position I'm in now, because now my work ethic's on a different level. You know what I mean? So I was fortunate it happened, unfortunate at one point, but like I see the silver lining in it. So.
Okay, fair enough. I mean, at the end of the day is, I guess these things sometimes, you know, things happen for a reason. I guess maybe, maybe we could put it down to that. These things happen for a reason, and you've come out it a much better, a much stronger person, and obviously got a hell of a lot of passion for the sport, or you know, the industry, which is great to hear. Now, moving forward in time to say February 2019, now you sign a multi-year contract with a rejuvenated Impact Wrestling. You know, and at that time, you know, I was an Impact fan. I had no clue who this beast of a guy they were calling the walking weapon at the time was. I had absolutely no idea. It soon become very clear to me, and I'm sure like many other people who weren't, you know, totally au fait with who you were at the time, that you were a very talented guy in the ring. And I think after a kind of short singles spell, I mean, I think you only had like a couple of little singles matches, you know, you were then reunited with Ethan, And we got the debut of the North. Now, you know, and that I think happened in about the April. Yeah, I think that was in the April. So can you give us some insight, basically, on how the North came about? I mean, was this, you know, was this Ethan and your idea that you thought this was the best way to go, or was the Impact trying to put you guys back together? Or, you know, I can imagine someone like Scott knowing you, like Scott probably knowing you guys, would have said, come on, let's get you guys back together. I don't know. But, you know, what how did that sort of come about?
I could not tell you, to be honest. I've never asked. I've never, it's just, when I got signed, I'm pretty sure they signed me with intentions of me being a singles star or a singles wrestler, because I filmed a vignette by myself. That music that we use for the North, I chose it to be my own music. I had my own Titantron video made. I had a t-shirt that came out with my debut solely for me, a Walking Weapon t-shirt that's still available at Impact. You know, from all indications, I thought, you know, we were going to be singles guys, because both Ethan and myself, even though we've combined to make a very successful tag team over the years independently and in Impact now, we both have identities outside of our tag team. He's a very successful independent wrestler as a single star from Evolve all the way through all the major independents. And me, I've been lucky enough to make a name for myself. I've been AEW Heavyweight Champion, which was big indie in America.
Yes,
and Canada. So we didn't know. And honestly, I don't think Scott ever knew we were a tag team.
Oh, really?
If he did, he probably never saw us, because I don't think Scott watches like the PWGs and the AEWs as much. Okay. You know what I mean? But like, I know Jimmy Jacobs, he's a writer for Impact, and we definitely worked with him as a tag team in AEW. He saw us over the years, so maybe he threw it out there. But yeah, I mean, I'm happy that they put us together as a tag team, because I'm a big fan of tag team wrestling. And wrestling,
yes, so am I. Wrestling
with Ethan, like, it's effortless. I've been a lot of tag teams over the years. I've been thrown together in tag team matches with people that, like, you just don't gel with. And if you don't gel, it's always going to be an uphill climb. And it never feels like that when I tag with Ethan. We're always finishing each other's sentences, if that makes any sense. You know what I mean?
Well, sorry, go on.
No, even though, like, we're complete polar opposites, we complement each other in this way, and we always know who's on what page. And what we're doing.
Yeah. I think it's very clear to see that you guys are good friends. I mean, don't get me wrong. I watch that religiously. So I know that you guys are clearly good friends, as well as tag partners. I mean, clearly you travel together. You spend a lot of time together. You can see that even in sort of kind of behind the scenes, you kind of compliment each other, you know what I mean, like almost to extent of like almost being man and wife kind of thing is very kind of, do you know what I mean? It really is. You do compliment each other really, really well, and that comes across extremely well on TV. You're all, like you say, you're also chalk and cheese, and that works well too, doesn't it? I think when it comes to sort of kind of a tag team, having that kind of like that chalk and that cheese, as long as you kind of, like you say, know each other well, understand each other, it can work extremely well. And clearly it works for you guys, right?
Yeah. No, like we know our roles very well, and we fall into.
Yeah, definitely. Now, obviously, like I was talking about then, for me, you've done the dynamic between you two, you know, it is gold. One of the things I wanted to bring up was, and you know, I guess that's because I'm an avid wrestling fan, so I do tend to pick up certain things that some people who maybe casual people watching don't necessarily pick up. But I love the faces and the body language given off in promos from you towards Ethan. You know, because obviously it's very clear that Ethan, obviously he's all ego, so you know he loves the sound of his own voice. I mean, there's no doubt about that. Nothing wrong with that. And sometimes you never seem to get a word in edgeways. So does that ever bother you?
No. Unless there's a purpose, I don't like talking. So if there's a reason, if I want to be mad about something, if I'm in a heated feud and somebody just beat up Ethan and left him bloody in the ring, yeah, I'll have a lot to say. And I would like to have a lot to say. But
of course,
if we're the champions, you know, we've had the tag belts for almost a year now and there's nobody in sight that's going to challenge us for it. Like, I think he's the one to convey that kind of thing more than me, right? So I stand back and I let him go off. And some of the stuff he says, like everything you see me do and react, like facially and body language wise, that's 100% genuine, because the stuff he says, I don't know what he's going to say ever. And I just react naturally. I'm known by a few close friends and wrestlers in the business in locker rooms. If people say ridiculous things, they usually try to look at my face because it's some comedic thing that they think's hilarious, because I can't lie with my face. Yeah. I just can't hold it back. So I just try to bring that out in promos. So.
Well, believe you me, you do, because, you know, for me, when it's funny you should say the way you're saying, like when you're in the locker room and all that kind of stuff. So for me, when you get a North promo, and obviously Ethan's sounding off like he does, I never watch him. I listen to him, but I never watch him. I watch you, because I'm waiting to see what reactions you're going to come up with your body language and your face. And that kind of stuff as well. So, it's interesting. You know, I just think that I look out for the sort of kind of subtle stuff. And I think you're great at that. So keep doing it, because it's really good.
Thank you. I think the quarantine stuff we were able to do, you know, I was able to showcase a lot of that, you know, with how ridiculous it got. So, yeah, I was lucky with that.
Yeah, but that must have been fun. That must have been fun doing that stuff.
Oh, it was a blast. But like when we step up to something and there's like, okay, Ethan, you just got to go off. And I'm like, what do I do? They're like, oh, nothing. I'm like, well, I'll do something back here, I guess. Like, you know what I mean?
That's fair enough. I mean, at the end of the day, like you say, you both work so well together. You bounce off each other. And like I said, at the end of the day, all you have to do is give off a facial feat, you know, some sort of kind of facial thing, a body thing. And all of a sudden, the promo becomes gold. You know, like Ethan has got the gold vocally. He's gold vocally. There is no doubt about that. The guy is a promo guy, and he's very good at it. But like I said, you know, when you're working as a tag team, for me, what turns your promos to gold is actually the subtle stuff. Like, you know, and generally that comes from you. So, so I hope you appreciate that, because that's definitely something I notice as a fan. So
hopefully other people notice too.
I hope so too. Now, obviously, since joining the Impact roster, not only have you had some incredible tag matches, but you've had some pretty damn impressive single matches as well. Now, one that stands out for me as probably my favorite singles match that you've ever had was in Mexico against Vikingo. Now, what do you remember about that match? And could you believe the acclaim that you received, like on socials and online and stuff? Because like people were going nuts for that match. I mean, everyone was like five star constantly. You know, what were your thoughts on that?
Okay. So originally it was supposed to be Ethan, from what we heard, and I was like, okay. And like, it's not my, because it's always usually been the booking thing of you'll show up to tapings and it'll be a singles match and then a tag match. That just seems how it always kind of goes. And I'll always get more showcase singles match, because I think Impact Management seems to have this understanding that like I don't have an off switch. I'm always going to give 150% regardless of, like I say it on the independents, my whole motto for my singles run is 550, 500, 5,000 people in the crowd, you're getting the same guy every single time. It doesn't matter. Yep. So, so I've had matches with TJP, Eddie Edwards, Vikingo, all this stuff that's got me a lot of fanfare singles wise in Impact. But Vikingo, the one stood out. I wasn't very familiar with him, to be honest. Like, I don't watch a lot of Mexican wrestling. I had just heard when he told me he was supposed to wrestle Vikingo that he responded with, you should put Josh in that match instead. It'll be a million times better. Like, that's what Ethan said. And I don't think, I think Ethan's one of the best wrestlers on the planet. Like, I'm not going to take that away from him at all. But he wanted to just see me wrestle Vikingo because he was familiar with Vikingo. That's why he said that. And they ended up changing it, or maybe it wasn't his influence that changed it, but he said it regardless. And just putting together the match, I could tell that he wanted to showcase himself. And much like that explosion match that you saw, I'm all for the person that isn't in Impact showcasing themselves if they can and they want to. Because the better you look, if I beat you, I'm going to look great. Or if you beat me, I'm not going to look as bad. Like, that's like the golden rule of wrestling, right? So I'll go 150%. I'll do everything in the book and make it make sense, hopefully. But like, I'll go as hard as you want to go. And luckily, like, I love it when guys show up like Vikingo and they just want to go balls to the wall and hold nothing back. And like, if you can go to a point where I have to keep up with you, then I'm pleasantly surprised when I'm challenged. So like, Vikingo didn't hold anything back. Like, I think there was a couple things where we were just like, we could go bigger, but why bother? And I just remember the pin happened in the ring, Ethan slid in, and there was like a couple things that I didn't like in the match that I thought could have been better, but like, you know, who notices that stuff other than wrestlers? And he was just like, damn, that was awesome. And all of a sudden I start getting pegged with coins and I'm like, what's going on? And I am not familiar with Mexican wrestling that much. I'm a big Japanese wrestling fan and like British like all-star stuff, and all these coins are hitting me. I'm like, what's going on? Did they hate the match or something? And they go, no. The ref's like, it's a sign of respect. It's not a respect. Just leave it. And I'm like, okay. And I came to the back and
They're telling you that match was money. That's what they're telling you. I mean, that was I mean, I personally, I mean, I like all sorts of you know, I get, I don't know, I'm just a fan of wrestling full stop. So yes, primarily I'm an Impact guy. I love Impact Wrestling. You know, over the years, obviously I've watched the E, and I've watched, you know, WCW and ECW, and you know, I do watch a bit of AEW. I don't see it as being all, you know, that people seem to think it is. But you know, I do watch it, and I do enjoy some of the guys on there, because you know, I've known them over the years, I've watched them over the years, so I do know them. I do tend to watch a little bit more of the Japanese stuff, but I do appreciate the Mexican stuff. And yeah, they do, they have some really strange sort of kind of things that they do, and that is one of them. If they like that match, you're going to get pounded with coins.
I still have, I combined all the coins and I traded them in for a bill, and I have the bill in my wallet. I'm
Really?
never gonna spend it. I'm gonna keep it forever because like that's a moment. After I retired, I like now I'm not as hesitant to take a photo with somebody or tell somebody how much I appreciated something because I know like all we have is memories. So like I have that memory of that match and coming to the back, that was the first time like people were at the curtain watching the match because it was so good and they were clapping for me and like giving that appreciation, and that was crazy. And just like, just to say another thing about like Vikingo, like he's obviously going to have a very, very good career. Like he's like, I told Impact to sign him right away, whether that means anything or not. A bunch of people did, but I think he's got a bright future ahead of him, obviously. But like, he's one of the good ones.
Do you know how old he is?
I think he's early 20s. He's very young. But
He's
like,
so fast. It's just insane. He's like a, he's a bit like a Spider-Man, isn't it? Like he's sort of kind of just like boom, 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 and it's like, geez, you know. And I know, obviously, and I was going to ask you about the communication. Did he speak English or do you speak Mexican?
he doesn't speak English. We speak pro wrestling. I was lucky enough early in my career. Scott D'Amore actually would bring over all Japan talent, and they would stay here and do tours and stuff like that. Like Kushida was one of them over the years. Kaito Kiyomiya, he's been the champion there in Noah. He was the last one that came over, but I've been lucky enough to work with pretty much all of them. And there's no English; it's just pro wrestling. Like you say, clothesline, I know clothesline, or lariato, or something. You know what I mean? It's just It's a different type of wrestling, but you just got to be able to keep your eyes open and kind of play off each other. But just to say one more thing with the thing with Vikingo and stuff, like nothing angers me more. I don't care if you are like an insane athlete or you want to do like 18 reverse Ranas or anything like that. Like, I don't want you to do crazy stuff where you're going to get hurt. I've never hurt anybody in a professional wrestling ring. I know I can say that. 15 years of wrestling, I've never hurt anybody. I've hurt myself a shitload of times trying to protect other people when accidents happen, stuff like that, because I don't want anybody to get hurt. But there's just something wrong. Like, guys show up and they just don't want to do everything they can possibly do to have the best match. Like, they just be like, okay, this will be good, we'll stop here. Oh, but it could be great if we just work a little bit harder or try a little bit more. Like, I'm a big effort guy, and like Vikingo, same thing. 100% effort the entire time, and that's why that match was what it was.
Yeah, I think there were a lot of there was a lot of calls, like you say, you said, look, you need to sign this guy. And I think there was a lot of like online people were like, man, you need to sign this guy, get him locked in now because he's, you know, he's gold. And what I think was impressive, like you talk about his age, he was very young and he was very clean. Like, for someone that kind of like, you know, and that, we've talked, I've talked about this with other wrestlers and other guests I've had, that, you know, like TJP, for instance, right? Now, when you watch him, and funnily enough, he had an amazing match with Vikingo as well. But like, everything that he does is so clean. It's never like, you know what I mean? Like, I would imagine that if someone said, oh, you got TJP today, you'd be like, oh yeah, spot on. You know, but like you like, yeah, well, this is going to be, this either going to be a great match or I'm not going to get hurt in this one, or, you know what I mean? You know, it's going to be a good, clean match. I'm talking about obviously execution of moves. So, and I was, you know, based on the fact that Vikingo was so young, I was really surprised at how clean he was. And also at the, you know, like the speed that he moves at, you know, like it's very easy to sort of get a foot wrong on a rope, or, you know, if there's a bit of grease on a rope or something, or a bit of sweat or whatever on a rope, to get your foot on there and slide, and it will go terribly wrong. But he seemed to just know exactly where he was at any given time, and be able to just pull crazy stuff off at ridiculous tempo. And then when you combine that with someone like yourself, who for me, I would class as an extremely clean wrestler as well, that, you know, you're very precise. So when you combine those two together, you're always going to get a crazy good match. And I think that, you know, yeah, Ethan, if it was Ethan that persuaded them to put you in there with Vikingo, then, you know, fair play, because that was definitely the right move. And it was incredible. I mean, online, people were going crazy. Like, this is the best thing that they've seen on Impact, you know, all year kind of scenario, you know? So, I can't take a hat off. I've got my thing on, but yeah, hats off to you. So, yeah, that was a great match. That was a great match. And so I thank you for that. Thank you ever so much for giving us that. Now, the North have also had some incredible matches over the last 12 or 18 months. Now, which are the matches you are most proud of? Now, and I'm gonna let you go with it. I've got a particular match in mind that I thought was incredible, but I'd like you to tell me which was your favorite matches.
Most recently, it was the last main event we had before crowds went away. This is the main event of television against Tessa and Eddie Edwards.
Yeah,
that's one. Usually my favorite matches are the ones that when we go into it, we have little to no preparation. We, you know, something would happen. It's a busy day. You know, somebody didn't, you know, there's an issue. You don't know how this is going to go. And then you're pleasantly surprised that it went amazing. It went above and beyond your expectations. So like, that's one of them. Against Willie Mack at Hard to Kill in a handicap match. The fact that a handicap match could get, like, we went into that when we knew Rich got hurt on the Friday night. We're like, oh, it might be a handicap match. They might add a tag partner. And I remember saying to Ethan in the hotel room, like, if it's a handicap match, We have to do everything we can to make them think he's going to win, because there's no way they're going to think that one person is going to beat two people. Like, that's the sole goal, which was the whole reason for me taking a giant destroyer off of Ethan's shoulders. But that one, we had one against the Rascals of Trey and Zach, and it was one night only in Nashville from February, I want to say. Or no, it was from the OVW building in Louisville, Kentucky. So you can look that up on the Impact Plus app. That one was really good because, like, we actually got time. It was like 22 minutes long. Otherwise, man, like, they all kind of fall in here and there. There's been a bunch of fun ones, like getting to work with Mara Fuji is a dream come true, stuff like that. But, like, I think our best stuff's still ahead of us. Like, I think we can do a lot better. I hold myself to a really high standard, so.
Yeah. So, I'm going to say.
Sorry, I forgot one. My favorite might be, I think it's the second. We did two back-to-back. We did a non-title, and then we did one for the title against Fala and TJP. I can't remember which one of the two, but one of the two I liked, like, I thought it was almost perfect.
Title match.
Sorry.
Yeah. The second. That's my pick. That's my pick of your. I'm so glad that you put that one in there. Yeah, that is definitely my pick of the favorite match that you guys have had since you won the title. And yes, Hard to Kill, that match for me was almost, I would say, probably the match of the night for that pay-per-view. It was just outstanding. I mean, Willie, I've said this before. I do another podcast called Impacted. Now, you may have seen it because we recently did one actually on you and Ethan as the North. It's just basically like a character profile show where a couple of us sort of talk about you guys' time, you know, on Impact, and we sort of run down your shows, all that kind of stuff. But so we did one. Ethan actually promoted it like crazy, which I thank him for.
That one, he retweeted it. It was probably a month or two ago now.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, and it was. He loved the fact that we were talking about. I've got a bit of a thing for Space Monkey. I think Space Monkey is so good. Like, you know, when it comes to that kind of, like, you know, that underdog character, the underdog stroke comedy character or whatever, I think Space Monkey is amazing. I love the idea of the whole speaking. Yeah, I think that is so funny. And I came up with this idea of putting him with Shark Boy. So okay. It would be Space Monkey and Shark Boy as a tag team. I just think that would be comedy tag team gold. I mean, can you imagine him, like, just trying to, you know, give a Stone Cold style promo, giving it a shell, to Space Monkey and stuff. I don't know. I just think it would be a really, really fun thing to do. And Ethan had obviously watched it because he tweeted out saying, "You need to listen to this. That you need to listen to these guys. They've already just paired up Space Monkey and Shark Boy." That's how I knew that he must have obviously listened to it, because otherwise he wouldn't have known that. It was a fun one. I mean, we did an hour and must have been about an hour and 20 minutes, like, talking about you guys. Both me and Joe are really good. We are fans of your reign. So it was a nice one to discuss. You know, like, when you are a fan of a team or a wrestler that you're talking about, it always is kind of like, it's always fun to sort of just, you know, talk about it with your mate. Do you know what I mean? And that's kind of what Impact it is. It's me and Joe, big fans, and we're just sort of kind of chewing the fat over wrestlers and tag teams that we really enjoy to watch. If you do get the chance, I'd appreciate your thoughts on it. If you do get a chance to have a listen, you know, when you're building a house or whatever it is that you're doing, stick it on the headphones. It's definitely worth a listen. I'd love to know what you thought. We've always talked about that, and that particular one for me stands out with Willie and stands out with with Fala and TJ, which was the actual championship one that they obviously you guys retained. But that was, yeah, I just remember sitting on the edge of my seat and just going, oh my God, you know what I mean? This is like crazy. And actually, like, you didn't know who was going to win. And those are the matches that I really love because, we can. That's what always annoys me about the E, actually. I don't like to talk badly of anybody, but when the way that they book their matches, you almost know the result instantly, right? That as soon as they book it, it's, you can just go, oh, so and so is going to win that, and they win. They always do.
Yeah.
And you even know that the match is going to be like performed in. You know what I mean? You even know how it's going to go. And I find that. I guess as a long-time wrestling fan, I find it extremely frustrating, and that's why I like Impact because I'm very I'm often surprised at how a match goes. I can watch a match and like think, oh my God, I think they're actually going to win. Even in my head, I'm thinking, no, they're going to retain. They still got more time in this. But you're thinking, oh my God, like they're going to surprise us. They're actually, and I don't get that with other promotions anymore. But I still get that with Impact, and even more so now because obviously, with nobody being in the arenas, you don't get any spoilers. So it's almost like watching a live show when it airs on TV. It may as well be happening now because you don't know anything about what's going to happen, and that's great. But I think that like Impact at the moment for me is like storytelling wise, in-ring stuff is some of the best stuff you guys, the roster have done
Yeah,
in
it's
the
so
last.
hard because there's
I
so
can
much.
imagine.
You hear
Yeah,
me?
no, I can imagine. No, without doubt. But yeah, no, it's good. So yeah. Those are the matches for me. Now, I want to come a little bit more up to date. So, this Tuesday, you've got your next title defense, and that's obviously against the Rascals. Do you have a message for them? And do you think any of the teams on the current roster have a shot to take those belts from you guys? I guess not, because you already told me that.
No, I think any of the teams on the current roster could be tag team champions,
Okay.
but I just not while we're in the promotion or not as while we're a tag team. I mean, we've shown over the past near year because we faced every single tag team in Impact, some on multiple occasions, just like the Rascals, that
Yes.
some just aren't ready. Some just don't have what it takes to get it done. A lot of people, when their back's pushed against the wall, when the pressure's at the most, they don't rise to the occasion. Fortunately, myself and Ethan Page do. And, if I were the Rascals, I would have waited a little bit longer. I would have, gone back to the drawing board, come with a different perspective or a different, goal in mind. But, like, I don't know. We'll see how it goes on Tuesday night for them.
We
It's,
will, we will.
like Ethan said, it's the 17th time they've challenge for the tag team championship. So hopefully they won't have to shoot for an 18th because that'll be embarrassing, but we'll see.
Yeah. They must be honest. Yeah, they definitely had a few goes at it, haven't they? But I mean, they're very athletic, though, aren't they? I mean, they're very quick. They can get around the ring. I think what they lack is that, like you say, they are fast. They do some great athletic moves, but they just lack that little bit of strength, don't they? That's the one thing that is missing from them. They work well as a team. They got some great moves, but at the end of the day, they don't have the walking weapon, and they don't have all ego. And so, that's it. That's it, really, isn't it? It's a foregone conclusion, to be fair. So, okay, all right, no problem. So, finally, with all the speculation on who is coming into Impact, obviously at Slammiversary on July the 18th, I was going to talk about the Saturday thing as well. Do you have any idea why they went with Saturday? Because that's not normally a pay-per-view day, is it?
I mean, it was an NXT day before, I guess. So, I mean, some wrestling fans have been,
Used to
kind of trained into having that, but I'm for it. I mean, personally, I would
why
much
not?
rather watch a show on a Saturday night than a Sunday for people
Exactly.
going to work on a Monday morning and stuff like that. But No, I have no idea why they did, but you know, it doesn't seem
Okay.
like a terrible idea.
Okay. So now, talking about the speculation side of things, I mean, who would you? I mean, obviously, I don't know whether you know anything. I'm not expecting you to come up with some, some exclusive or anything like that. But who would you like to see turn up and why?
Well, first, I don't know anything because I'm not a politic or anything like that. I don't have, the boss on speed dial. I just show up and I find out who I'm wrestling and I do my job. That's what I want to do. I enjoy that
Perfect.
and I don't want to be a part of anything else. So I'll be pleasantly surprised with everybody else on July 18th with whoever shows up. For me, I would hope that the Good Brothers show up, Gallows and
Yeah.
Anderson, because as a tag team near year long reign, if we are still tag team champions come Slammiversary, we would need new contenders. And, they made a name for himself across the world, New Japan Wrestling, WWE, and they want to come to Impact. And I think we can show that we can hang with anybody from around the world. And that would be
Okay.
a perfect tag team to do so against.
Okay. Anybody else? I mean, there's a lot out there at the moment. There's a lot out there.
Is there a lot? I mean, I would like to see EY back in Impact. I was even a huge fan growing up watching Impact Wrestling of the original Team Canada and everything he did after that, up until his, title run and everything else. EC3 is an original too that could help. We need more people. We need
Yeah.
more marquee talent in Impact Wrestling because, like you said, the writing, the wrestling, everything is amazing in Impact. Some of the best stuff. But if you don't have the names to make more people, put their eyes on it, then nobody's going to know that. So
Yeah.
it'll only help everybody on the roster the more marquee talent comes in. And EC3 and Eric Young, those are marquee talents. So, I'd like to see everybody come to Impact Wrestling. I'm not worried about my job. I know that I can wrestle with the best of them. So if the best come,
That's
it's
awesome,
not like
yeah.
I'm going to get bumped to the side. So.
Definitely. So it's interesting you mentioned EY because I EY was, I mean, EC3 when he went, I'm not to say that I don't respect it. He's a great talent and I would love to have him back. But when he went, I was not as disappointed as I was when EY went. I just think that EY is so good, like on the mic, incredible promo guy. His voice, I some people sort of kind of have that voice. Like Ethan's got, he's got like that wrestler's voice, where he could literally just sort of kind of turn that volume up, and all of a sudden he becomes like this alter ego of himself, right? Julian himself, right? So, and I think EY has that as well, but he's also got that, and considering he's. Because he's not like a massive dude either. He's sort of kind of, I think he's like, maybe about 6 foot. He's probably, I mean, how tall are you? You're about sort of 6'2", aren't you? Something like 6'1", maybe?
6'1", 225
Yeah.
pounds. Eric's like maybe an inch shorter than me, maybe an inch or
Yeah.
two.
So, yeah. So he's about 6 foot. So like, so he's not a massive guy, but he's got the voice of a guy that you would think was like, 280 pound. Ginormous stud, you know what I
Yeah.
mean? And I think it's like really gruff and like just to me a proper old school wrestler style voice, in the way that he comes across. And he's just so good at every aspect of what he does. You could put him in a comedy role and he's great at it. You could put him in Team Canada, as a young lad seriously trying to make a name for himself. And he's good at that. And then you turn him into the maniac or whatever he was before he ultimately left the company. And he was amazing at that as well. So it was kind of like it didn't matter. He's good at the underdog. He's good at being the champion. He's just good at everything. So and I think the one thing Impact seemed to be able to do well is being able to regenerate and reincarnate and constantly evolve people's characters, through the storylines that they're choosing for them to go with, and I think what they're also good at is picking up the versatile guys. So, you know, like you say, like your Sammy's, who is incredibly versatile in what he does. You know, he can be a scumbag, or he can be this, like he is at the moment, this kind of dark entity style character, you know, or whatever he is now. You know, you got your Ethans, who, you know, is just a total arrogant, you know, SOB, and it doesn't, he could be doing anything you want. You know, he's amazing at what he does. You know, we've got amazing guys like yourselves who are great with the face, who are great with the body and the way that you portray yourself physically. Like Dave Crist is great at that as well. So if you watch a lot of like OVE promos, you don't hear Dave speak much, but he's always in the background, kind of doing the faces and doing the strange body languages and stuff like that, which sort of kind of make you go. And again, I'm very similar with those promos. I sort of, when I'm watching them, I listen to who's talking, which generally would have been Sammy up until recently. But I watch Dave because I'm waiting for him to do something which just totally makes the promo gold, you know. So it's kind of, and that's like what I do with you. And I think someone like EY coming back, you know, would be a massive boost for Impact roster. And again, you know, he's done tag team stuff, so there's a potential to maybe, you know, him reunite with some partner of some sort. You never know. You could end up with a tag team out of that. Maybe ODB. I mean, you never know. They might bring back the Knocked Up Championship. I mean, you don't know, do you?
Minute.
So there's definitely lots of options out there. But I think ultimately, I think you're right. I think if we get Doc and Carl in, I think the feud that could come out of that between you guys and them would just be incredible. You know, it would truly be a draw for the Impact product. So yeah, so look, my
Yeah,
fingers
let's
are
keep our fingers crossed.
well and truly crossed for that one. And I'm glad to hear that you think that would be a great one as well. Do you think that there could be anyone else? Because I mean, I know that there's rumblings of this whole Team Canada thing going on, and we had Mike Elgin on the phone on
Yeah.
Tuesday. Now, who was he talking to, you know? So some interesting stuff going on there. And you know, I mean, my ideal Team Canada would be Michael Elgin, the North, and EY. But
But who would be the leader?
I don't know. I don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe Scott. Maybe Scott could, you know, come in and, you know, revive his role. You know,
The
Scott
coat.
could be the man. It could be. You never know, do you? I don't know. I don't. Would be. I think that would be a really cool thing to come back, especially with the amount of Canadian guys that are on the roster now.
Yeah, and like there's more that like could come in if they wanted to bring more independent people like Giselle Shaw or Aiden Prince. There's other people out there
Yeah, Aiden's
that can.
incredible.
Yeah, and he's had a lot of shots in Impact. And Giselle, you know, she took her talents out to England for nearly the past year, and she made an enormous splash and a big name for herself. And she's an amazing wrestler. So like we've talked to people about signing more Canadians and like put people over, but honestly, I don't know anything that's happening. I know that we chose the name the North, because we were big fans of Team Canada and just wanted to give a little hint to that. But you know, there was never anything written in stone that we were going to be a Team Canada or anything ever. And you know, the tease with Michael Elgin, who knows?
Who knows? I'll tell you, it's very exciting times ahead, that's for sure.
Hmm?
Okay, well, thank you so much for joining me today, Josh. I mean, it's been really cool to have this discussion with you. Do you want to let us to know where we can sort of kind of follow you on social media, or you know, check out anything on YouTube maybe, or anything like that?
Oh, just, you know, follow along with Impact Wrestling Tuesday nights on Access TV or Twitch. I don't know what it'd be on out in England for a channel, but you know, follow along, watch Impact every Tuesday night. You know, follow along with us because we are producing some of the best wrestling in the world. We just need more people to talk about it. We need to get around. We need to spread like wildfire because we're all busting our ass. We're all working hard, and we care. So,
Yeah, I
like
don't know if
that's.
you're aware, but in the UK there is a big following for Impact.
Yeah, oh yeah,
I
huge.
Yeah, I think that I think ratings wise, in the UK, Impact gets more views than WWE. Now, I'm not sure if that's based on the channel because they're on a premium channel, whereas Impact is shown on a free channel, a free view, they call it a free view channel. I don't know if it's got anything to do with that, but there's definitely a big viewership for Impact in the UK. And I, for one, have been absolutely hounding Ross Foreman to let me know when you guys are coming. Because I desperately want you guys to come back to the UK. It's expensive for me to keep coming to New York, because that was the cheapest place for me to come and watch you guys. And that still was a couple of £1,000 to fly over there, stay in a hotel, buy the tickets, spending money and everything else. So, but it was worth it, and I loved it. And I came away with actually, I've got some of the memorabilia here, actually. Yeah, look at that. Look at that, everybody. There you go. See, that was
Yeah,
the New York.
everything but the tag team champions, right? Yeah.
Yeah, look at that. See? Oh,
Nice.
yeah. I never noticed that.
No, they like
I've
to
never
sweep us under
noticed
the
that
rug.
before.
It's fine. We're used
You
to
reckon? But I'll tell
it.
you what I did get. I haven't got it here, though. I haven't got it here. But what I did get in my little pack, actually, was a signed card, and you both signed that for me. Even though,
Awesome.
you didn't realize it was for me personally, but I definitely got one of those. So they definitely included that in there for the tag champs. And I got a photo with you. So you know what I mean? You were definitely important enough for that. Anyway, so I'm very excited to see what comes next from you in the North, on Impact in the coming months, and hopefully years to come. I know that both of you are signed to a multi-year deal, so, and I just hope that long may that continue, because I think you guys are gold, and everybody in the whole wide world needs to see more of the North, and appreciate the work that you guys do. And before I do sort of kind of go into the end sequence, I do want to say I really, really loved the stuff that you were doing when you were up in Canada, at the Olaf Arena stuff,
Yeah.
that I thought that was, sorry.
I love the Diener compound match personally. Like,
Yes, that as well. I mean, it was just hilarious. And I believe, I don't know, I heard on the grapevine that Ethan actually produced those videos himself. He actually put all of that together. I don't know how true that is, but
I can
could you
neither
confirm?
confirm nor deny anything.
Okay, fair enough. But it was very good stuff. It was very, very good stuff. Yeah, very entertaining. And I appreciate, as a fan, the effort and the time that you guys obviously took to put that stuff together. I thought it was great, so thank you for that. Well, that's it for today. And I hope you enjoyed the discussion with my special guest, Josh Alexander. If you want to know how to find me, Bison, I'm very active on Twitter at Lord Bison 45. And don't forget to follow Total Nonstop Impact Network at We Talk Impact, which is available on YouTube, SoundCloud, iTunes, Spotify, wherever you listen to podcasts, we're there. So make sure that you subscribe or smash bells or whatever it is you need to do to never miss a listen. And also, please, please leave me a thumbs up or a comment to let me know how I'm doing, because I am quite green at this. I've not been doing this very long. So that's why I also appreciate talents such as Josh. I mean, come on, guys, this is like one half of the Impact World Tag Team Champs, on Skype with me right now, like interviewing the Bison. Josh Alexander, everyone, you know what I'm saying? Like, come on. So, how cool is that? So yeah, if you've got any thoughts, anything that you want to add, please don't forget to leave us a comment. I'd happily answer any of those. I do love interacting with everybody. But yeah, so leave us a thumbs up. Any thoughts, whatever. So anyway, take care, everybody. Until next time, it's goodbye from me, the Bison. This has obviously been Bison Talks Impact with my guest, one half of the tag team champions, Josh Alexander.